The viewpoints expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of WRUU, its license holder, or its staff. You are listening to WRUU LP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM. Hello, and welcome to Taking the Journey Together. We are your hosts, Craig and Sharon Butts.
Thank you for joining us as we explore interpersonal concerns and problems in dating, cohabiting, and marriage. Our relationship stories come from research and personal testimony. Our main focus is on Black American relationships. However, our expanding world has us reaching out to include multicultural relationships as well.
Now, let's get right into our show.
Listen and gather round me, children, children of a mother whose life lifted up love. Listen and gather.
Well, what do you think about that, Sharon?
I think that's great.
Yes, it is.
I really like Gregory Porter.
Yes, that's a beautiful song. It was about mothers.
Yes, and how appropriate. As we are coming into today, which is sort of like a pre-Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So for mothers out there, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. Yeah, exactly. So are we going to talk about mother stuff today, or what are we going to do? What do you think we should do?
Well, we are talking about responsibility today.
And I guess when we think about most of our mothers, they usually were the ones that were the responsible adults for us, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's a part of a thriving relationship, and it's got to be an important part, especially, you know, when you have children and, you know, you're trying to raise them, you need to be on that same page. So the responsibility comes in very, very,
very
important.
What? Very important. Okay.
Very important at that time.
Yes.
But guess what we need to do?
I don't know what we need to do. I know what I need to try to get you to do. It probably has to do with our motto. Every day we like to talk about our motto.
Yes.
Well, I shouldn't say every day, but usually we try to make sure that we lay that down in our a program, right?
Right, in the first few minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. We're just thinking about moms. That's probably a lot to do with it.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, but we're always going to think about moms.
Good or bad.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Sankofa. Reach back in and pull out
the best parts.
The best parts.
Best memories.
Yes.
Yeah. As long as you can find them, yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And if, you know, sometimes you don't have to look as hard as you expect to.
I can tell that she's a mama's girl. She was a mama's and a grandmother's girl. I can tell that just by the way she's talking. Yep, I was.
I was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love to hang on to the legs of mama and my grandmother and my father, too. And my grandfather. I was just like, you know, always there.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and talk about the vision of taking the journey together.
Okay. We believe we are going to relate to each other. It doesn't matter what your kids say. It doesn't matter what your mom and dad says. It doesn't matter what Jesus says. We are going to relate. Yet we feel we need to relate in a balanced way. What do we mean by a balanced way? Well, we mean friendship and sharing is on one side of the scale. And on the other side, you have the lover and sexual compatibility.
Okay.
The lover is not rational nor logical, mostly full of feelings and emotions. The sexual compatibility is passionate and is about physical chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with, do we click? The friendship side is the unconditional side. This side is about giving and receiving ideas, thoughts, dreams, material, and financial things. The side that says we feel each other together.
Mm-hmm.
What we find is that most relationships are built on the belief that we can be friends, but we can't be lovers, or we can be lovers, but we can't be friends. So as a result, they marry or have long-term relationships with lovers, not friends. Yet we believe your bestie friend,
okay,
can be your best lover also.
Okay.
Of course, not all of your best friends.
Okay. Well, you might want one or two, I guess. No, I'm just joking. Well, best friends, you will want more than one best friend. A lot of us have associates, but we should have a lot of best friends. Yeah, we should.
And some of them we should consider going to that next level with.
Exactly. It depends upon how responsible they are.
Exactly. And if you truly become friends with one another, you will know that without a doubt.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know what gets me too? When we think about, we talked about moms at the beginning because we're getting to Mother's Day. I think about my mom. Some people will call their moms mama. Mm-hmm. Or what's the other ones they hear?
My father used to call my grandmother my dear.
Oh, my dear.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was his mother-in-law is my mother's mother.
Yeah.
He called her my dear.
Okay.
There's mom, mama, mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. My mother called her mother mother and called her grandmother mama.
Yeah, but then there's also the times I remember driving in the car or driving inside the van, and I hear in the back seat, mom, 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 mom.
Okay, we get the picture. We get the picture.
And then sometimes you hear them go, mama, 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 mommy. I mean, they were just like going to a whole nother spin in the world all by themselves.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Yes. Unbelievable. Do you remember those days?
I remember those days.
Yeah. They were just sitting like, it was like a mantra they were telling themselves, and it must have echoed in their mind.
Yeah. And it's that, I need that attention from you right now, because I know that you always give me the attention when I'm ready for it, you know, and I need it now, and you're not responding. So now I've got to make you respond.
Oh, yeah. It would drive you just absolutely mad. I know my, the mom of my children. I remember that many times, and I have to admit, I wasn't the best, happiest father when that happened, because it just got on my nerves, especially when I was younger, because my mind thought was, there's supposed to be a little bit more control with these little beings called children. They should have some understanding that there's a feedback level that maybe you should be able to sense. That is that your parents are not too happy and they're getting real annoyed and they really would like to do some things with you that will probably get them in trouble or in jail, one of the two. But you know what, at that age, some of them just didn't care at all.
Yeah.
In fact, if they felt any feedback from you, look, eyes, or nothing at all, that seemed to be that you were irritated, it was like, that's even that much more why they're going to act up. You ever notice that?
Yeah, but that didn't last long with mine.
Did you whoop him?
No.
Did you whoop him?
I inherited a look from my mother.
Yeah, you whooped him. You know, back then we did stuff like that, but you know what happened. You can't do that today.
I didn't do that very much. Mm-hmm. But the my solution to that was whenever we went on car trips and things like that, I put together a travel bag. I guess, for lack of a better term, and what I would have in there, I would
overnight travel bag. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, they would have their own little special stuff. They would have their little baggies of Cheerios and raisins and things like that. So they could, you know, if they get bored, they could get a snack, or if
snickety snack.
Exactly. You know, they had the favorite toys that they wanted, and you know, things mm-hmm. that would keep them occupied, books and, mm-hmm. And all of that, depending on their age.
Okay. I'm gonna have to get some track sounds in or something that would go, eh. Seriously, stop it. I'm already wanting to stick my finger in my mouth.
Well, you know, you have to find ways of getting around don't. Things.
They go from A to B with me, and that's how that went. Period.
So yeah, I didn't have a lot of that mm-hmm. that going on because I gave them things that I knew they liked and kept them occupied.
Okay. Well, you know, the thing that got me was they were always concerned about where we're going. And I was like, you're not driving. You don't own the car. You can't get where I'm going by yourself whatsoever. So why do you need to know? But every time we go someplace, one of them would go, where are we going? You know, the other one, are we there yet? Are we there? I'm like, oh, my God.
I never stop. Really got that.
Well, you were a blessed, lucky one. You kept your children shackled and muffled with a big mask around their mouth or had tape around their mouth. That's probably what you did. Yeah. People didn't know it, too, because they looked at you and thought you were so nice and kind. Yeah. And you would never hurt a fly except for them. No, I'm just joking. Yeah.
I would say ridiculous things to them and okay. make them have to think about it. And so they would stop when they would start working that nerve and, mm-hmm. and we're in the car. I would... You know, or
didn't look, get on my last nerve,
or look out the window and say, "Oh, mm-hmm. did you see that?"
Oh yeah, we did that. You did an outdoor thing. What's that, love bug? You used to look at cars and stuff and name cars, and then they end up punching each other and stuff like that because of that car thing. I don't know what that was.
So let's talk about responsibility.
Thank you. I know, I was going to say before we started, responsibility doesn't necessarily mean that you're always going to feel friendly and likable to your mate, just like we're talking about right now. You could tell I wasn't feeling too friendly and likable in connection to my children or our children at that particular time, because I'll be honest with you, I can tell they were not feeling too likable and charming to me. So it's kind of like, hey, all is fair in love and war here in that particular matter. But I remember that happened from there. But so but that means what those, responsibility does tell you. It's not always up. What am I hitting? Responsibility doesn't mean it's always a feeling thing. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's one of those things where, you have to, if you're in a thriving relationship, mm-hmm. you work some of those things out together.
Yes.
You get to a point where, why am I stuttering?
But I don't
you
know.
You get to a point where you can understand that these things are coming, and you look out for one another.
Yes.
And that becomes your responsibility in a sense to say, okay, I got this one. Or mm-hmm. or you're driving.
Oh, you got that one.
You're driving. I'll handle the kids.
Oh, sure, have that one.
And then when I'm driving,
or maybe someone else might have that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Or maybe no one. But if you're in a thriving relationship and you're dealing with responsibility, mm-hmm. you know who has it.
Well, you know, sometimes I remember the young folks, the kids. I remember sometimes our young children. They seem to, what you just got there saying? They seem to have had it. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about have it as for control over us.
Exactly.
and they took advantage of that situation, mm-hmm. especially when you were tired, irritated from work. Yeah. Are you upset with one another? They didn't seem, at least what I saw, they didn't seem like, well, Danny and Mom seem to be upset. So let's make it smooth for them. You know, let's make it nice for them. It was like, ooh, good. This is a chance to really give them a hard time. I'm not saying it happened all the time, but I remember those times.
But that's their job, to see which buttons to see which buttons they can push and figure out what their limits are.
I'm gonna say to you, like someone we know on the Apprentice Show, I would like to say you're fired.
but
get rid of them.
But seriously, you know, mm-hmm. that's part of their learning of boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
learning of boundaries.
Yes,
they pushed every one of
exactly.
them. What are you talking about?
But they learned what line not to cross.
True.
That.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. But in a balanced relationship,
mm-hmm.
you know, before you bring the children in, you've got some things already figured out. And then, you know, as it goes on,
mm-hmm.
you work things out together. Like, okay, you know, your mate can look at you, your partner can look at you and say, okay, this is not a day that you want to be bothered with the children. Yeah. Come on, kids, let's go to the park.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I can't say that happened all the time. Sometimes when you're young in that relationship, responsibility is not necessarily a glue that you know of. And what I mean is sometimes there's that tradition, sometimes that stereotype that says, well, if I'm a male, and I'm not going to get on any particular culture, but if I'm a male, I don't necessarily have to be responsible for the children. I'm working. I'm going out trying to get, you know, either to conquer the world, or sometimes I'm just sleeping on the couch, watching TV, playing my video games.
Yeah. I'm trying to, I got to provide for the family.
Is that whatever, whatever it may be, the bottom line is I don't feel that I need to be responsible for those children. And it's your son, it's your daughter, it's your kids. And I mean, I've seen that happen,
until they thrive.
Exactly. So that responsibility and the imbalance in the responsibility is what I'm referring to. I'm not saying that at all, because there's some good young fathers that I've had a chance to meet who seem to be very responsible, sometimes even more responsible than the mothers have, which has been very surprising.
Yeah.
But they do understand that responsibility. So again, I'm impressed very strongly as I'm kind of waking up a little bit here, that responsibility doesn't mean you feel like doing this.
Right.
Responsibility doesn't mean that you in turn were told to do this. Responsibility has like an energy that comes from within, that you feel that and believe that this is something that you have ownership in.
Mm-hmm.
It's connected to you. And because of that, you are motivated to do it as being the source to show that example when it comes to responsibility. You kind of understand what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that it's in you that this is just the next step.
Exactly.
This is what we do. That's like, you know, the thing of let's go to the park.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural ability to say something is off. You need some time or whatever to take that upon yourself without being told, I need some time. I just need to wind down.
Exactly.
It's something that you automatically know because you have learned that person. And as a matter of fact, if you are a friend, that if you have married your friend,
yes,
you already know the body language, you know the facial look, all of those things that say,
hey,
space. I need my space.
You know, I also, as we're going to go on and talk, we also understand that responsibility, as I was talking about before, not on feelings, has a lot to do with on the basis of what foundation. Well, we know that foundation has a lot to do with, do I feel comfortable with me?
Yes.
Do I feel comfortable with who I am?
Mm-hmm.
My purpose, my role, what am I doing?
Do I
here?
Even know?
Exactly. Who I am. You know, that brings up something we're right here. I want to want to say about understanding that when the support dynamics is imbalanced, and also shows that you have, shows you that you may have some low levels of self-confidence, and you may feel too strongly the need for your partner to be your only source of self-worth. Yeah, I had to bring that up because that was spin off of what we just got through talking about. I do know the first time when I had my first child, I do know that when I first looked at our child, this is the one that was alive, because the first one actually passed away during the birth, which was traumatic, but I don't really want to go into it. But the second one we had, I know when I held her in my arms, beautiful, very beautiful, loved her to death when I looked at her, but I was like, what is this? What am I supposed to do with this wiggly looking at me? And I mean, you're like, wow, I didn't carry this for 8 months or 9 months in me, and now I have to carry it in my hand. So the lack of confidence, never having experienced any before with a child, was definitely obvious inside me, and was a frightened as can be. And because of that frightened and definitely imbalancedness that we're talking about right now, that had to do with my low self-esteem of, am I going to be a good father? Why? This is a lot to be responsible for. Can I be able to deal with it? And it didn't do much good when I came from a fatherless family too at the same time. So I didn't have much experience on my own as a father to connect into. a chattel being me in this particular case. So I felt, you know, at the time, like some of us did, young men, some of you guys out there know what I'm talking about. I leaned on my mate. Okay. When it came time to change the diapers, take your child. When it came time to feed the little one, take your child. When it came time that you were tired as can be, holding them because they were crying and nothing what you did could keep them quiet whatsoever. And so you're like, take your child. That had a lot to do, and I'm saying to it right now, that's a lot to do with that time where you didn't have that self-confidence. And so you relied upon your mate, during that time. Yeah.
And, you know, the bad side of that is that can build animosity.
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
Because it's like, you know, it's, you're not comfortable, but generally in that particular time, it's the mother who is, you know, almost 24/7 on call.
Mm-hmm. Mama's always on stage.
And to take a moment of that on call time and, you know, when you can be off, when you should have some moments off.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're giving it back. That's kind of like, okay, this is out of balance.
Oh, very out of balance. Yeah. Very out of balance. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I felt out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell many times whoever was the sibling that I had, or not sibling, the child that I had, they felt out of balance. You could feel them, which was why I was uncomfortable, that I really wasn't comforting them. Because I wasn't feeling comfortable. And the more uncomfortable I was, the more uncomfortable they get. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, let me give it to her. Yeah. Give them to her. Oh, we said it, sadly to say, but let's give them to her. Because it looks like to me, I'm not helping this child at all.
And you weren't, because they can feel your anxiety.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that makes them uncomfortable.
And I'm going to stop because you're bringing a point out. That lack of experience coming from that first time as a dad had everything to do with, I didn't know this little child, this little being, this little human in my arms could actually feel me.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that there was nothing this little being could do when it came to feeling or anything else but poop. And you know the other one with the pee. Oh, I just said it. And throw up. Yeah. And then cry. I figured that was all output stuff. Mm-hmm. Never anything to do with input,
and
really.
The fact that you were the one that was supposed to provide that input.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you were supposed to give that infant the understanding of the idea that you were the responsible one.
That responsibility you're referring to now is the emotional support.
And security.
That emotional support is part of that security, too. We're not talking about this financial, because the financial
we're talking
about the traditional one that has to do with males and how they're taught and yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But they're not really taught or presented that there's an emotional part that they also have a right to be involved with when it comes to supporting the child,
exactly.
Whether it's a girl or a girl or a boy. Mm-hmm. And that basically has been passed on. And so there's inconfidence. So you may be even inconfident in yourself and your own emotional support of your own self that you may be burying and hiding and ain't macho. Mm-hmm. It's not macho if I show it and yada, yada, yada.
Exactly.
And so you do that with your child.
Yeah, because you're dealing with all of those, the stereotypes that, you know, the social acceptance, what is and is not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always, you know, and 9 times out of 10, it's skewed because it's coming from someone who knows no better than you do.
That's funny.
You know,
that is definitely funny, but that's very, very real. It's most of the time it's coming from your real. I mean, we could get into that. It also has a lot to do with your cultural background, too, because I mean, outside the fact that I didn't have a father around, and my uncle, he was an old school uncle, and he's first African American electrician, in this particular town. So he was kind of like a hard kind of guy. Hard guy means he just didn't show his emotions much at all. So, you know, to me, trying to support someone emotionally, where most of the time in my world, there was nobody I could show my emotions to from that standpoint, let alone get them deciphered, interpreted, of what they were about. And the only thing that really showed many times that you had a right to be able to do as a male is to show your anger if you're angry at something or somebody. But anything else, nah, you just pretty much keep it to yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. And see that brings in that, and I keep using this word of imbalance.
Yes, it is.
You know?
It
and
is.
So from that standpoint, it's hard to, build a responsible relationship when you have that imbalance to start with. So you've got to work extra hard at it.
Well, I think what you're trying to say is that one of the things that we may have to look at being responsible as males, and sometimes we know there's females who are going through the same thing, but a majority probably males, is we have to be responsible and understanding that our emotions are something that we have a right to be sensitive to and know about. And be
exactly.
responsible in finding out what they are and what they're about so that we are able to be able to interface much better and communicate much better and make our children, not make our children, but be able to connect with our children and have them feel more comfortable with themselves and more comfortable with you, too. Yeah.
And it's one of those things where that responsibility needs to be shared at that time more than any other time. And, you know, one of the things that happens is the mother ends up being in a position of not ever feeling like it's okay to say, I'm tired. And so, you know,
are you tired?
I'm tired.
That's because we went to bed real late last night taking care of stuff.
Not to mention the time of year it is and
exactly
all
and
of
then,
those other things.
And then everybody hopefully is still staying safe, even though things are being opening right now. But hopefully you're still staying safe. Wear your PPE. It's still important for us to do that. If not for you, somebody else, especially your children. And, yeah, I'm going to attach to it and say that it's part of our responsibility. And make sure you get tested, too, at the same time, because that's important. We're going such through a trauma all around the world and things are not going to be the same. I know we got to get back to work. I know we got to make sure we make our income coming in, but you know, your life and your children's life are just as important, if not more important than that. But on top of that, we need to make sure that we didn't find that good balance.
Yeah.
To make sure that you are still taking care of yourself emotionally, physically, and spiritually, intellectually, and your family too when it comes to the material thing. But at the same time, you got to make sure at the same time that your children in your life and the mate in your life is also on the other side balance being taken care of well with love and care.
Exactly. And
hopefully we're helping them with that with thriving relationship because that's part of that responsibility, right?
Exactly. Because that's one of those things that one of the places where you find that breakdown is when you haven't worked towards a thriving relationship and all of a sudden you're thrown into this unusual, you know, experience that you could not prepare for if your life depended on it, which is a strange thing for me to say, because in this case it may, you know, and so you have the kind of situation where, you know, whose responsibility does it become to make sure that everybody in the household maintains some type of even understanding? Do you discuss it? Do you not discuss it? Do you just keep it all locked inside? Well, those are things that you have to be willing to open up and talk about, because that is a part of being in a responsible relationship. You know, communication is part of that.
Yeah. And in fact, we're getting ahead to our break. As you can see, time wise, try to do it every 30 minutes of the hour. We're going to be talking about that more. And when we get back, distinguishing between taking and deflecting responsibilities for both you and your partner. Wow. I think that's very important for us to take a look at.
And some of that was what you gave an example of in the beginning when with the baby, and it's like, not my responsibility, it's yours. You know,
exactly.
That's deflecting
at
that time, too.
Let's go on to our PSA. When we get back on the other side, we'll talk a little bit more about it. Take care. Peace.
We're not calling.
This is a message from the Georgia State Department of Public Health. Right now, federal and state guidelines recommend staying home if possible and limiting time in public places as precautions associated with social distancing. The more we use social distancing techniques, the more we reduce the risk of the virus spreading. This is especially important for older people and those with underlying health conditions who are most vulnerable to the virus. More information can be found at dph.georgia.gov.
You're listening to WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
WRUU brings you the most diverse and passionate local radio programming on the air in Savannah. This all-volunteer and nonprofit community radio station accepts no money from any form of government. Our diversity and independence is made possible only through the generous financial support of listeners like you. We rely on your annual and ongoing monthly contributions to cover the many costs associated with bringing you our broadcast and web programming. If you are a contributor, thank you. If you're not yet a contributor, please show your appreciation of the role WRUU plays in your life by becoming a contributor in any amount. You can donate quickly and easily by credit card or check. Just find the donate and subscribe links at WRUU.org. Thanks for listening to and supporting WRUU.
The 100 Black Men of Savannah is a nonprofit organization that provides youth mentoring and scholarships to deserving youth in public schools across Chatham County. Programs include summer camps, tutorial services, a leadership academy, and financial literacy courses. For more information, visit 100blackmensavannah.org.
Listen and gather round me, children, children of a mother whose life lifted up love. Listen and gather round me, children, children of a mother whose life lifted up peace. A mother.
Hey, we are back again, after the commercial. Hey,
yes, whew,
Mr. Craig Reporter, he's something else.
Yes, he is.
Making you feel good about your mom. Kind of hear him in the background just thinking about talking about the mom. Yeah, that is something else, isn't it?
It is.
The mom, that is something. Okay. I mean, he got a heck of a voice. One day we'd love to be able to bring him here to Savannah, Georgia. He comes a lot all the way up to, or at least when we didn't have this virus thing, he should come up to North Carolina a lot, play up there, which a lot of good bands go up to North Carolina and do their thing in North Carolina because there's a college up there and some other things like that happen. But we'd love to try to bring him down here to Savannah one of these days. Got a fantastic voice.
That would definitely be nice. So where did we leave off?
It is your responsibility because that's your baby.
And you know
okay?
what? It is. So, and I'm taking responsibility.
You're taking responsibility. Wow, you sound like you take so much responsibility. You sound so smooth. You sound so just oochie Gucci.
Don't do
Okay.
That is.
Okay.
What?
Yeah,
no.
What? No, no.
No.
Oh, I got to bless you over there. Okay, so we're talking about responsibility.
Yeah, we were talking about, we started moving into the part of deflecting responsibility and moving responsibility to someone else rather than accepting it as yours. And it's part of taking ownership.
Yes.
Of your responsibilities. You know, and some people decide what is their responsibility and they won't move or waver from it. And if there's another responsibility that comes up, well, you need to handle it because it's not my problem.
Yeah. They got that. Of course, they come in with that kind of belief system, too. Once the same, always the same, and will never change.
Yeah. And then you have those people that have the gender roles.
Yes.
And
yes.
And you have to stay in. I'm a man, so I can't cook.
I can't cook. I'm a man. No, I'm joking. I can cook. I can burn some hot dogs and burn a couple of eggs. And
burned hot dogs are pretty good. Okay.
Okay. They're pretty good. Yeah. Yes. Wow.
But, you know, then you have women that say, well, mm-hmm. you know, women don't cut the grass. I don't know why not. That's mm-hmm. kind of fun, actually.
Yes. Especially if you have a riding lawnmower out there. You can really enjoy yourself. Yes.
I love a riding lawnmower.
I bet you do, but I'm not getting one. Our yard is not big enough as of yet to get a lawnmower. When we move, we get a chance to move to a bigger space, which I love to have us do. That'd be our responsibility to make that happen. Exactly. But then, yeah, that'd be nice if it was a lot of land to do that.
Yes. But it is fun.
It is.
But, you know, we have to sometimes throw away those ideas of the gender roles mm-hmm. because, you know, we life is different. Okay. And it's what you make it.
Yes.
And just because your parents had certain roles is no indication that they have to be your roles, too.
Yes.
So when you move into that relationship with your best friend, then what you need to do, you notice I'm throwing all this together.
Yes.
When you move into that relationship with your best friend, it's up to you to decide what the boundaries and the responsibilities are and take ownership of it. One of the things that we learn is that when you take ownership, you know, and accept your responsibility, it raises the trust and dependability mm-hmm. among the partners. You know, I can depend on you to wash the car if I'm washing the clothes or vice versa.
Exactly. Let me cut in real quickly. And that means also at the same time that you don't have defensive responses. And no, I'm not trying to say that I do with that cough. But anyway, defensive responses would be stop being so sensitive, or I don't know that what you really care about, or shouldn't you have said something? I mean, those kind of things that are said when you're deflecting and you don't want to take responsibility, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, or it's, well, you always do it, so why not do it now?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and it could be because I don't want to do it now. Or because you want it done, why don't you do it? You know, mm-hmm. it's those things that are not accepting responsibility.
I think one of the biggest nemesis in that is the word called taking that other person for granted.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's the biggest nemesis mm-hmm. when it comes to responsibility. sorry to say that. Again, I'm not coughing. It's me. Because it's not really. I think it has a lot to do with sometimes our cultural acceptance, our cultural way we were brought up. Sometimes would say because of roles, of course, many times that's dad's response, that's mom's responsibility, mm-hmm. that's my brother's responsibility, that's somebody else's responsibility.
It's what you grew up with, mm-hmm, and so that's mm-hmm. what you expect to carry on.
Exactly.
Well, not necessarily. You grew up with it, but then you grow into your own.
Exactly. I mean, I find that reverberates beyond just your relationship and your family. Sometimes it reverberates, and many times it reverberates into your own community, mm-hmm. where you may feel that when it comes to the several problems that are happening in my community, the several problems that are happening in my city, I'll go as far as say I'm going for that, is somebody else's responsibility. I'm going to, lay it off on someone else. I'm going to blame it on someone else. And I'm not going to, be responsible and feel that I'm responsible for my community, my neighborhood mm-hmm. from that end. So, I mean, it can go that far, too. I've seen that happen a lot.
Definitely. And so, and a lot of those attitudes and ideas start in the household.
Yes.
And so it's like, I'm not going to get involved. And, sometimes that's the only thing that couples agree on. It's outside the door, so it's not our problem.
Yes, exactly. I didn't do it. I'm not that family. It's those people down the street. It's that particular political party, and so I'm not going to be responsible. Oh, you should be responsible. Mm-hmm. And then many times, like my mom used to say, when you point your finger at somebody else, you got three fingers pointing back at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like, look in the mirror. You mm-hmm. know, sometimes you might want to have a mirror right by your door, so that every time you
scare yourself and you go out the door, oh my God!
Every time you go out, you or come in, you know who the responsible person is.
Well, aren't you supposed to be looking at yourself in the mirror when you start in the morning if you're in the bathroom?
That's okay. My point.
Oh, I close my eyes most of the time, so I have to see myself.
Yeah, do that one eye thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's enough that I'm up and got ready for this whole day in the first place. I'm like, why do I want to look? Well, it's going to come when it comes from that end.
But if you look,
mm-hmm.
you see your flaws.
That's true.
And if you see your flaws and you accept your flaws and your mistakes,
mm-hmm.
You know, that helps you to accept your responsibility,
mm-hmm.
helps you to grow.
I think it also, too, it's another way of building your self-esteem. Because many times when we think about looking at flaws, we're looking at someone else's flaws, though in a relationship, many times we have to understand that with a thriving relationship, you're operating off of the Mbutu principle anyway, which is I am who I am because of who you are.
Yeah.
So basically a lot of the flaws that you're seeing from your mate, if you're operating at the level, or you understand that dynamics, is the flaws that you're seeing in them is really in you.
Exactly.
I'm hitting all the time. But anyway, that's really what's going on.
And
so it makes you feel uncomfortable because it's really a flaw that's in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's irritating, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, and especially if it's one of those things that the other person understands as a flaw, but they've mm-hmm. accepted it, mm-hmm. you know, and says, okay, I'm not perfect. This is a part of my imperfection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm working on it, but maybe not. But then every time, mm-hmm. you know, the other person sees that, it's sort of like a scratching at a cut, you know, that's trying to heal.
I think you're trying to speak about the situation in our relationship, and I'm going to have to retort on that.
No.
Because sometimes it could be, like in my standpoint of view, because I do that sometimes with you, it's because of the fact that imperfection or that unbalancedness that I see that you're practicing or doing, especially when it's done over and over again, it's a pattern, may be something else that I'm trying to get over and seeing that there's a possibility for it to move through that. So you don't do it over and over again and cause that same mistake, especially if you want to use Sankofa as your principle, mm-hmm. which is everything to do with the wise saying from Africa that has to do, go back to in the past, look at those things that in turn you learn from and bring into the future. And so I may be frustrated because what I see in you is that I want to see the best in you because I want the best in myself. And I'm not necessarily seeing you walk in that direction. So in that direction, like look in the mirror, it makes me also feel uncomfortable because it's like looking at myself and saying, why aren't we getting better?
Yeah.
Why aren't we getting better? Because that's what we're talking about. In a thriving relationship, it's really not about an I.
Right.
It's about a we.
Yeah. It's it goes back to the last ingredient to the glue that we talked about, which mm-hmm. was intimacy.
Yes.
You know, and we made the connection that, you know, it has to be into me.
Yes.
From both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, into me makes it into we,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and so we're in it together. So yeah, you know, that's understandable. It's not necessarily easy to deal with.
Yes,
but,
exactly.
You know, it's understandable because sometimes, you know, the thing that one person is uncomfortable with is the same thing that you're uncomfortable with, and you don't necessarily want to admit that you're uncomfortable. They don't necessarily want to admit that they're uncomfortable mm-hmm. with that. But that's one of those things that...
Because of standoff.
Mm-hmm.
That's standoff.
You know, maybe if you talk about it, you can find out that that's one of the dysfunctions that you bonded over.
You know what I was thinking? I was thinking the word came to me. It's like a tug of war.
Yeah.
What is, anyway, it's a tug of war. And being that it is a tug of war, then that is part of that war. Both of us are tugging back and forth
mm-hmm.
in an area that are pretty much, we are alike. Okay.
Yes.
And may not want to admit, but we see each other
mm-hmm.
and we tug back and forth, seeing and hoping that one of us will give into each other or give into ourselves. I think what you said is very important, that if we you know, swallow our pride, practice that other principle called transparency. Remember
yeah.
that? That was one of the hot glues up before.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then transparency would be what you were saying, which is, hey, this really is a problem of mine that I see you have too.
Mm-hmm.
That's really bothering me. And I want us to get better. I want us to be better in this area. Can we work with one another in this? Because what we're doing is we're battling each other as if we are the enemies when
right.
we're not. When really it is something from the past that could be going on.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something happened from the day that's going to be going on.
Yeah.
It could be a lot of things that has to do with the functionality or dysfunctionality that we're both seeing each other. And our task in the thriving relationship is to try to find healing.
Mm-hmm.
Try to find healing.
Yeah, because then it could be something as simple as it's something that has been inside me that I have secretly carried around.
Okay.
That is a part of my insecurity, my low self-esteem or,
mm-hmm.
you know, that building of esteem that I haven't crossed that bridge yet. And it could be
across that bridge.
Exactly.
Come on, that bridge is there. Get going.
And that's the thing. The other person could be a little further across that bridge
I know.
Than you are.
I got the cab.
You know?
No, I got the Uber. I'm ready to go across the, jump in. Let's go. I'll pay for the ride too.
Well, maybe it's a free ride.
Well, if it's a free ride, get in then.
But whatever, get healed.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's what we're all about mm-hmm. here when it comes
yeah.
to a thriving relationship. A thriving relationship is not a battle, a competition where at the end we go across the winning line and so someone is the winner or we both become the winners.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that. Mm-hmm. This has everything to do with the fact that we as human trying to connect to our spirit for who we are inside. To connect with one another through that principle we call it Mbutu, because we see that we're a reflection of one another. And we know that with that, there is healings
mm-hmm.
that needs to be done in both of us. And that's what we're here is to try to help one another, to heal one another, and in turn become more loving to one another. Because isn't that what loving is all about? Isn't
yeah.
healing about loving? Isn't not loving about healing too?
Exactly.
Oh, no, of course, there's some people so perfect out there. They don't have that problem whatsoever. So I wouldn't want to talk
right.
about it.
Right. And so with that in mind,
mm-hmm.
You know, the healing part, the thriving part,
mm-hmm.
and you were talking about crossing the finish line as a winner. Isn't that something that should be elusive, that finish line?
Well, that's what I said, that. That is the wrong example to
mm-hmm.
use.
Yeah.
Like a game or competition. That's
yeah.
what we're saying.
Yeah, but no, but what I'm saying is
mm-hmm.
neither one of you should.
Are you trying to compete with me?
No. I'm asking a question.
I'm going to win. No, I'm just joking. See, there's an example right there.
Exactly. No, but I'm asking a question.
What's that?
My question was, should that be
mm-hmm.
something that in a thriving relationship you look at as being elusive, that finish line? That you should not even think about the finish line being there, but you should constantly think about growth and healing as a never ending
okay.
goal.
And
I'm just asking.
No, well, I know, but I'm going to remind you, and then when you tell me the title of the show, then you understand. What's the title of the show?
Taking the Journey Together.
Okay,
yeah.
What is it now that you know where the answer is?
It is.
It's a what?
It's a journey.
There you go.
Yeah. And
it's
so,
a journey. Lifelong journey. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So if
yeah.
you have that attitude of, you know, we're going to get to the point that everything is perfect.
Journeys are not like that.
No.
Oh, no.
It's kind of like.
Especially if you throw in the word adventurous journey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's kind of
yeah.
like today when we took an adventurous
yeah.
journey.
Yeah. Didn't we today?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we did.
You know, and we do that from time to time. And it always turns out to be an experience that we never dreamed of.
Adventure is what it turns out
yeah,
that we experience.
Adventure. Yes.
And what adventure that we experienced as we upscaled our lake and our park that we went
yes,
to.
Yeah.
And we know we're probably going to, in fact, I know we're going to go back to that one again
exactly.
because it was a much better adventure,
mm-hmm.
much more to see and
more relaxing.
More relaxing, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So that was a good thing. And that's always important when you have those things in common and you seek to enjoy them together,
mm-hmm.
and do all those things together.
Well, let's go and move on because we want to try to finish up and be responsible to finish up responsible responsibility on our show today.
Yes.
Understanding that it is extremely important. Okay.
Oh.
Did I miss that one?
Yeah,
I'm, that's all right. I'm going to do it anyway. Understanding okay. that it is extremely important difference between taking responsibility and accepting what?
Misplaced blame.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now that's a hard thing to do, is to take the responsibility and accepting misplaced blame. I remember someone told me one time who did a lot of relationship counseling. He said, do you want a relationship or do you want to be right? I say that all the time.
Yeah.
Do you want a relationship or do you want to be right? Because you can tell looking at this, taking a responsibility and accepting something that is what? Misplaced blame,
mm-hmm.
means that that's a time that that blame could be truly something the other mate is, how can I say it, being like.
Yep. Or passing on. It's that, mm-hmm. What was it that we said, deflecting,
mm-hmm.
deflecting responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be responsible for the fact that I am, that I did this. So it's your fault. If
mm-hmm.
if you hadn't done this, then it wouldn't have been, you know, or whatever,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not for me to take the blame for it. It's deflecting it.
Yes, yeah. I think there's also that old usual thing I've seen in relationships, too, where maybe the guy or the lady is having a relationship outside of the relationship. And in turn, will start then being more... how can I say it? Blaming the other particular mm-hmm. mate on how maybe you talked to another guy or maybe another guy looked at you.
Yeah.
And really what's inside is your guilt, your uncomfortableness yeah. that you're having in that relationship that you're not letting your mate know about and you're hiding from it. And you're transferring, as you said, that guilt mm-hmm. over to them, that misplaced blame, because it's really not them
yeah.
in this particular case that should be feeling that guilt. It's really you because exactly. it's something you're doing that you're not comfortable with, you're not open with, and you don't feel it's right, but you're transferring that on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then you have to, as a part of that, you have to know how to say, okay, I was wrong. Even if it means that it's something that you have to come back to,
mm-hmm.
And you have to, and on both sides, one person has to apologize for it, and the other person has to be willing to forgive.
Yes, forgiveness. I don't know if we talked about that before, but forgiveness. Has a lot to it. It has repentance. It has restitution, restoration.
Reciprocity.
And reciprocity is not in it. No, restitution. Restitution and reciprocity and restoration is part of a forgiveness. So, yeah, there's a lot that's in that mixed bag when it comes to forgiveness.
Yes.
And practicing that self-awareness to be able to apologize and accept that with you did that affects your partner. Boy, I'm telling you what, when PRIDE is behind it, again, PRIDE is behind it, pride, whoo, that's a hard bucking bronco, a door, a wall to get by.
As they used to say, it's a mm-hmm. tough pill to swallow.
It is. And I've seen that big time when it comes to pride in being able to take that responsibility. Sometimes you see in some relationships, someone carries with their pride something that they cause to affect to make someone feel uncomfortable, meaning their lack of responsibility, and in turn will carry that all the way to their deathbed.
Mm-hmm.
And make that other person or persons in the family feel guilty and upset because it's misplaced and it really wasn't them all along, but it was that person who was carrying that pride in that relationship
yeah.
all that time and that lack of being responsible. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, yeah. and you know, when that happens, mm-hmm. it's really disruptive to the emotions and the spirit and the expectations
exactly
of harmony.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think it's important that we have to understand responsibility is all about being harmonious.
Yes.
And that's what we need to do. It's a whole atmosphere. It's a whole attitude. Hey, We're going to see you next time around. We'll still be here.
You have been listening to Taking the Journey Together on WRUU. We hope we left you with some information to smooth your relationship journey. If you have any relationship questions that you'd like us to explore, send us an email to ttjt@takingthejourney-together.com or post on Facebook at www.facebook.com/ttjtogether.
Until next Saturday at 9 a.m., enjoy your journey together. The viewpoints expressed in the preceding program were not necessarily those of WRUU, its license holder, or its staff.